afternoon, St. Louis, DGS and Camo X. It's my boy Matthew Sweet, and my Gen Xers out there will know him. Super good guy. Met him a few times. Right up my alley musically. Just had a stroke, so I don't know how he's doing. But
did not hear that.
Wanted to throw him a shout out.
Oh man,
yeah.
I saw them at the Riviera.
Did you really?
In Chicago. Yeah,
that must have been awesome.
1997.
That's right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah,
man.
I was gonna say he was big 90s, right?
Yeah.
97, it was that we saw them at the Riviera, then the following night U2 played at Soldier Field. So we went to
It's a good weekend.
Shows. Yeah.
It's a good weekend. What's your, probably my best concert ever, again, 90s stuff. I'm just such a child of the 90s musically, was Dada opened up for Material Issue at Mississippi Nights. And it was just like, I knew every song and everyone there was really inside baseball with the bands. It was just awesome.
Yeah, that's
pretty
cool. I've
seen bigger shows, but I've never seen a better show.
I wish I was more into less mainstream bands. I'm not. I tend to wait until they're out for a while and then I hear them and
then
I'm like, okay,
them,
then I adopt it. I wish I was one of those people who's like, oh, we're going to go see the Stone Fitz or something.
And
then I have no idea who they are.
When
but
I was in law school, I had a buddy named Howard Berwin and I thought I was Mr. Music. And I'm like, what are you into? And he's like, oh, you know, Husker Du, Meat Puppets. And I'm like, me too. I love the puppets.
Well, they became things.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
It is fun, though, when we used to go to all the shows in, like, the Duck Room, Off-Broadway, the Ready Room, which doesn't even exist anymore. And it was so much fun because the venues were so intimate. And also, you ended up, like, obviously, Brandi Carlile is huge now, right? Just absolutely massive. And the first albums of hers that we bought from her behind a folding table because she was an opening band at
Very
a small
cool.
venue here. Sarah Bareilles, the same thing. I was like, you're really good. She's like, thanks.
You're going to be very
You're
going
to do great. Yeah, and that's really fun because you feel like, hey.
So I started my band in like 2001, played till about 2020, and one of our first shows was at Off-Broadway, and when I got there, it was the opening act was playing, sort of an Indigo Girls act, and every seat was filled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm going to leave radio and just be a musician. And when they finished, everyone but two people left. So I played a whole concert to two people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's when you know you're in a real band. Like, right? Like, when you play to two people, you're like, well, okay. Yeah. Another time, we were playing out at the old Stratford Inn, and they were showing the UFC.
Stratford.
And they had a big screen television behind us, like a projector thing. And the owner goes, okay, if the bouts start, I'm just going to give you the cut sign, and you just stop playing. So we're like, I am the walrus. Cuckoo, okay. And then we just stop, and the
Have
UFC
night,
would start. Yeah.
Visit us out front.
Hit him, kill him.
That's awesome.
Everyone's screaming and cheering. I'm like, yeah, not for me.
They're like, yay, there's
Mike. Not for me. Rach, what's your favorite show?
Oh, I just did this a couple weeks ago with a group of friends. I think my favorite show ever was The Flaming Lips at the Pageant. I was in the very, very front.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I love their music, but they just put on such an amazing show. They have like LED
screens. They have a whole production, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They do like confetti and balloons, and it's just very fun. I would suggest anyone go see them if you have the chance because they're awesome.
I don't know like their hit.
Yoshimi?
Yeah, there's
that. I don't even
know
which one it is.
Are you talking about the She Uses Vaseline?
Yeah,
they have a lot of really amazing songs.
That's the way I am with like when people go like, oh, Dada, I know Going to Disneyland. I'm like, no, that's their worst song.
Yeah.
I also saw, I don't know if anyone's heard of the band Manchester Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
But I saw them at the Old Rock House once, which
very
is like
cool.
Nice, tiny venue.
Yeah.
And was very, I was like, this is a once in a lifetime experience to see them in such a small place.
I'm so lucky I got to play. Like, I played the Duck Room a bunch. Just playing where Chuck Berry played, right? It's just like.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I never went to see him. I had three or four chances. And I just always thought I'd have another chance.
Yeah.
You know, I just didn't go.
I have the same thing with Prince. Never saw him, but I knew a guy who was he was older. He was about 10, 12 years older. And he was just a really big Prince fan. He's like, oh, you got to go. And he was in their fan club. And Prince would play either private shows for just his fan club, either before or after the regular show. He would do that a lot. And he's like, you got to come. I'm like, yeah, you know, well,
I'll get to it.
Yeah. And this was like 2001. And I regret that a lot that I didn't go.
I regret not. I was not, I was, I'm a bigger Prince fan now than I've ever been, and I regret not seeking him out and seeing him.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
I didn't go to a U2 concert, and I had tickets to a suite to a U2 concert, and I didn't go because I, at the time, I was like, eh, I wasn't into them. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I really regret that because even though I have zero U2 songs on like Spotify or my playlist, I don't listen to them. I acknowledge like they're one of the best, most long-standing bands ever. And to see them, it isn't about just liking them. It's an experience.
What year was that?
When they, I want to say around 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
Right.
That
then.
Was the big spaceship one.
At Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd have been a good one.
Because we saw the Rolling Stones. I did see, thankfully I had enough. That was
saw
really
them
fun.
Too.
Yeah. In 2010.
Man. So Wheels, did you see Booker open for the Devil's Taint or something like that?
I mean, depending on how you want to, like, to me, the most fun I had at a show was probably 2015. Because Korn was opening for Slipknot. That was pretty amazing together. But I'll say maybe the best one, though, was Korn at the Pageant. And that was maybe 2017 because they had a show here canceled. That's the thing. I think Jonathan Davis, the singer, got sick or something. They had to cancel it. So they came back and they did the Pageant. And seeing a band that big with that big of a sound in the Pageant, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It was really, because we were close. I mean, you're so close.
Have you been to Monstero, to El Monstero?
No, I'm going this year, though.
Oh, good for you.
Well, the hard part is I almost always travel around that time to go out of town to see family either in Michigan or Chicago or Florida or Atlanta or something. So I'm trying to figure it out, but I think there's a day or two, maybe the first day or two this year work.
And you can do the Pageant, which is like, what, 9 days over Christmas?
Yes.
Or they have their 2 days. I thought they did it every summer at River.
Oh, yeah, we've done that.
And I've done that one. And that was insane because at least the concert we went to when they're doing the wall and all of that, they had a real helicopter fly over at the exact time that the helicopter would have played like in the album. And I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. I just got my tickets for this year.
Yeah.
And it's row A, balcony 1 through 4.
Nice.
I know.
So I've got seat 3 then, right?
So what?
I said, I've got seat 3.
And 2.
Oh, we're going with the movie spacing.
Yes. Yeah, we can't sit next to each other.
No, you're going to need room for those biceps.
Yeah.
Lefty and righty get over 1 and 2.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, are you trying to get giant? Because you're getting giant.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see it that way. I don't feel it that way.
Well, you're wrong.
But I mean, I'm don't get me wrong. Look. I'm lifting with a purpose.
Yeah.
I mean,
is the purpose to pick up a car?
You never know if a fridge is going to fall on you or something.
Well, I hope you're around if one falls on me.
You know, it's one of my favorite things of the last 2 weeks that we have every day addressed how big Kevin is.
I mean, the picture, the video that we did for the sales staff where I said I needed money to buy a wig.
Right, right.
I sent that to Trish, and she goes, oh, my God. It looks like someone blew Wheeler up with an air hose.
Thank God. Thank Trish, man.
That supplement superstore stuff's working.
Yes, it does. And B, when I get into workout mode, I'm good at it.
Do you say let's go before every set?
Every set on bench press. All right, let's go.
Who spots you?
Nobody.
A crane?
He doesn't need a spotter. What are you talking about?
At home, nobody, but I won't do stupid weight at home.
Do you go to the gym or you do it at home?
No, I do everything at home now.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of getting out of the house and going and doing it because then it makes me not want to do it.
Remember those weights when we were kids that were concrete inside plastic?
That's what I have.
That's what you have?
I still have the same weights from when I was probably 15, 16 years old.
Wow.
The Joe Weider set. It's like gold plastic outside
that's
of concrete.
Awesome.
And I have like 3 sets of them.
That's
you
cool.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's like a gold mine now because Aaron Jar started getting into lifting, but it was like during COVID, after COVID. And the price of weights, like per pound,
it's expensive,
it's
man.
It's so expensive. I can't believe.
I've had to add because, like, you know, those the ones we're talking about, they're really thick.
Yeah.
Like the 25s, because they don't make 45s of those, because I guess that's just stupid.
Yes.
But like 25s, they're like 2 or 3 inches wide, so you can't put many. So I had to go buy the skinnier plates, the metal ones, and I couldn't believe how expensive those were.
They're like 3 times what they were before.
Oh,
the
my God. It's crazy.
You're like a step away from carrying logs and fighting bears.
Oh, my gosh. They do have log throwing.
For the like Highland Games.
You're training like Rocky did.
What am I?
pushing a plow.
Like Drago.
One of my buddies does the Highland Games. Like he does, you know, where they, I forget what that's called when they throw the giant tree.
That's
log
what it
throwing.
Is.
No, it's not, they got 6 hours, but it's got special name. But he does those things. I will never do those things because he has now ruptured both biceps and torn a pectoral muscle. I'm like, nope.
I don't want that for me.
Yeah, no fun. No fun.
How'd you rupture your bicep? I was throwing a tree.
Yeah, that's what he did. He was throwing a tree.
I think I pulled a muscle pooping.
Yeah.
For real.
Like, those are way
worse. The appendicitis, the doctor thinks that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. That's way worse than just a normal pulled muscle.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
It's got that added stank of embarrassment
on
it.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just where it is. Like anything in the core hurts.
Hey, leave my core out of this. You worry about your own core.
All right. Sorry.
You just made it hurt.
Yeah. Dave's like, every time
I
laugh.
Everybody's clenching now.
Yeah. Every time a man mentions my core, it's like, ow.
Ow.
Yikes.
I just imagine Kevin at home squishing melons with his bicep, just cantaloupe.
Dude, if I could do that, I would be doing it right here in the middle of the studio.
Oh, hey, Susan.
Hey, check this out. See that?
Hey.
If you gave me like a grape tomato, I might be able to do it.
Can you scoot over? Yeah, no hammocks holding this boy.
Well, I think I exceed the weight limit.
What are you talking about?
You know, the hammock.
Oh.
Can you touch her?
If I want it.
That's a good top five moment.
It really is.
My God, every
Thank
time.
God Trish was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
what?
She's never forgetting that one.
Get over here.
Can you touch her? You get to touch her or what?
God almighty.
I'm sweating.
I am too. That's what happens when I laugh. If I want it.
Let's do some Matthew Sweet and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
123 DGS. Amy was just telling us a story about being in a big crowd and getting kind of scared, and some big guys made space for them. And Rach and I were walking today, and we saw two or three different groups of people like laughing and kind of playing with each other. Isn't it nice when you see good things?
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like it happens infrequently these days. Maybe I'm just not out and about enough.
No, I mean, a little bit, because I do think we are so increasingly isolated just as humans, our daily existence. I can go days without interacting with anyone other than, because you can do self-checkout at the grocery store. Yeah. You know, you live your own life. I really can. And I have before, right? Just living alone. Again, as dorky as it sounds, it's one reason why I love races, like marathons. Like, Ron, you know, being in Chicago, you've seen the Chicago Marathon. 2 million people line the streets, and it's all strangers, but they're all cheering each other on.
Cool.
That's that feeling. Or, like I said, we were in Busch Stadium and the crowds were getting intense, and those guys, we started yelling that we had little kids with us, and they formed a protective circle so that the crowd didn't trample the little kids. Just like, oh, okay, we are in this together, I think.
Yeah. No, that's super cool. When someone's being ignorant to someone and someone steps up and protects mm-hmm. them, and just nice. It was just nice. Rach and I both clocked it. Just seeing people laugh. Just seeing people be light. Just,
yes.
You know?
That happened. Someone was being rude at a bread company a couple of weeks ago. Was like really angry that they were out of coffee, and they were obviously swamped and probably understaffed. And this woman was just like so unhappy. Well, I just think it's insane that there isn't coffee, and you're out of creamer. And so
it's insane.
Yeah. So I actually started going. I'm like, well, I go. They look pretty busy. She's like, well, this is a coffee shop, and I'm like, well, I can see that. You know, this person is working really hard, and just tried to like diffuse it by standing up, like by loudly enough for other people to hear the worker's okay.
It's just the
she was
really
livid. Like she was yelling.
Her definition of insane is
right, yeah, right.
This place is out of coffee.
Yeah.
That's insane.
This is insane.
It's a coffee shop.
How could you?
It would take, I don't know what it would take to make me do that. I have a long list of flaws, but that's not one of them.
To go off on. Yeah.
Like,
well, people think it's like their human right to get the coffee from the bread co. It's like, you're going to be okay if this doesn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, you're in the sip club. You're fine.
You're paying $7 a month. It's not insane that you have to wait 5 minutes.
The sip club is insane.
That is insane.
It's insane.
That can't be sustainable.
That's you, right, Andrew? Aren't you a sip clubber?
Oh, yeah.
You still doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Even though they took away your Jack lemonade?
Yeah.
I became a sip clubber.
Did you tell them they were insane for taking away your lemonade?
No, I'm still hung up on the way that Rachel said, oh, you're still doing that?
No, I didn't say it like that. I just didn't know if you were still doing it because I know you loved the lemonade.
Still doing that, eh?
That's not how I said it. Run the tape back.
Still going and getting 40-ounce Pepsis at 6 in the morning. Cool.
Andrew, you did a good deed today for me. So I didn't have anything for lunch, and Andrew was going down to get the new KFC original recipe tenders. And I'm like, oh, pick me up some of those. And he put in the order, and they only made one, and they refused to make two orders. So he gave me the order of chicken, and then I shared it with everyone. Wait. It's like a Bible story.
And I'm I'm currently doing this right now, actually. I'm on my second attempt to get the $5
back. Let me send you the money. You don't need the stress.
It's
the principle, isn't it?
It's the principle.
That's what they said in the Bible.
It's the
only place where you have principle.
It's also like they're kind of getting on me in a way that I don't like, because I'm like, no, you're gonna get yourself banned again.
Oh,
I'm like, you don't understand. I made two orders and they refused to make the second one, and they're like, you made two orders? Was the first one not enough for you?
What are you
and
insane?
I'm like, yeah, they're like, well,
insane. What are you around insane. Other people?
Two lunches, eh? And I'm like, no, it's not. I just, because they think I'm trying to scam them.
You're going
to
eat this here by yourself?
Exactly. They're like, wow.
But you're Andrew. You're
double
almost
the chicken tenders.
The colonel.
Right? That's the thing. They don't know me. Because I had to pull back with our people downstairs because they were being nice and I was getting a little hot. And I had to back it off a little bit because I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
It's getting too serious.
They 100% deserve this, but I'm not going to give it to them because they were being very unhelpful.
I knew when you came in with KFC and Papa John, something had gone wrong.
Something had either gone very wrong or very right in my life.
Can we tell the McDonald's part?
I mean, I'm already in trouble, so you
You're in trouble? Rachel's like, I'm not saying nothing. So not saying nothing.
He had a McDonald's
she got me bad on today.
And Rage goes, oh, what did you get at McDonald's? And Andrew went white because he didn't want anyone to know he already eaten McDonald's. And he goes, nothing.
I froze solid because I didn't realize the McDonald's cup. So I was like, how have I been made?
He's like, how does she know?
She just goes, oh, did you get a McDonald's earlier? And I'm like, none.
Like a little kid.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He like standing really there with the cookie in your hand. What are you doing?
Nothing.
I was putting this away.
What's the show Different Strokes? Where he's, I remember this, where it's the only one I remember where he was stealing the powdered donuts and he got caught. And they're like, well, what's that on your mouth? Chalk.
I didn't know the day turns into night.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 133. So, question for you, and it's a real question, and it's a bit esoteric as well. Today, I was driving to therapy, thank you, and I saw lots of road crews and guys pouring concrete and lots of hard hats and orange vests, and I was just thinking to myself, I know I make a lot more money than they do, and I get the whole, like, I bring in a lot of money for my company, and, you know, CEOs bring in a lot of money for their company. I get all that, but what I do and what they do, I don't think is a comparable in importance. Teachers, first responders, cops, EMS, construction workers who really are, and I'm not trying to be schmaltzy, but they really are truly the backbone of the country. Like if the you know what hits the fan, you need those guys a lot more than you need a Dave Glover. Why do you think we made those decisions where it's almost purely what do you bring in and that's what we'll pay you based on, as opposed to true kind of existential value?
I mean, I think there are a couple things that play into it. Not saying these are right or wrong, just factors that play into it. There are so many people that are invaluable that if you paid them, quote unquote, what they were worth, there would be no money.
That's a good point.
There would be no money for business owners and wealthy people to have. Well, right? I mean, the way this is structured is so that the people that are on the employing side, the bosses, the owners, the people that... It's because they're set up because that's what benefits them, right? If you make them more money, you're more valuable to them. They want to pay you more money, so you'll keep making them money as opposed to no ROI, right? You don't have the same return on investment, even though teachers are a greater need, right? Even though you can't have society without people building roads and making buildings and doing all that stuff, it's more about what you bring to the person that's going to be hiring you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say like with so many jobs, whether you're building or teaching or whatever it may be, I mean, there's dignity in that and working every day, contributing to society. And the jobs are very important and the workers are important. But a lot of times you are paying based on how easy is it to fill those jobs or replace those jobs. And it doesn't mean the jobs aren't worthwhile or that the jobs aren't important. Like you said, we need highway workers. We need construction workers. We have to have those to function as a country, but you're pulling from a much larger pool of people who potentially can do that job versus like a brain surgeon, which is also very, very important. But there's a much smaller pool of people who've gone through a medical school, right? It's not as easily replaceable. Let's say you have to train a guy. You can't train a brain surgeon in a week. It's important to have fast food workers and burger flippers. You need that for capitalism. It's great for our society. But if you had to replace a worker, it's easier to train someone at that job than it would be as a lawyer. And so it's looking at different jobs and how easy you can fill those jobs and what it takes. And there's a lot of times the pay is based on that.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that same simple thing, right? Supply and demand. It's not just a product, mm-hmm. but it's also the person doing the job. So using the idea of rarity, like you're talking about, why is a diamond more valuable than a stone that you'll find outside? Why is gold more valuable than aluminum? It's the rarity of it more often than it is anything else. Although sometimes with minerals and things, it can be about what they're useful for. But like the rarity of a skill, that's why athletes make what they make. It's why musicians that are at the top end make what they
right.
make.
Like, because we can't replace Aaron Judge. You can't just right. be like, I'll find another.
You can't just
Aaron
be like,
Judge.
Yep. Yeah. Aaron Judge, I don't like you. I'm just going to get another one like you. Well, there is only one him. There might be other people with similar skill sets, but they're going to be at a similar price.
But isn't it interesting that if if the you know what hit the fan, mm-hmm. we now need a guy that can put pipes together
yeah.
way more than we need Aaron Judge.
Well, absolutely.
You know what did hit the fan in 2020, and it was people
essential workers.
It was essential workers. It was first responders. It was construction workers. We saw who keeps the country running, and I hope we have a better appreciation for those people since it hit the fan.
Yeah. My belief has always been we could do so much more for soldiers, police officers, firefighters, teachers. We could do so much more just because we should. We can't make them all rich, right? It's just, again, too many. You're talking about, you know, what you generate versus what you make and all of that. You cannot just simply say, yep, you're all millionaires now. I mean, that won't work. But we should be absolutely across the board trying to do more for not just, I'm listing examples, there are others too, but those types of jobs, we should be trying to do as much as we can.
And there are cities that have, to what you're talking about, cities like Detroit, one of their biggest problems was the pensions for their police, fire, city workers was going to bankrupt them. And it wasn't just that, but it was a huge
yeah, yeah.
part of
yep.
why they ran out of money
yep.
and they eventually went broke. But ideally they should all be taken care of. Those are the kinds of jobs that those people should be taken care of once they retire, of course. But it can bankrupt the city,
Illinois,
and it's difficult to do.
State.
Illinois, a lot of that's what happens in Illinois. A lot of that money is going to pensions for fire, for police, so on and so forth.
I have another question. It's a sports question.
Okay.
So rest in peace, Fernando Valenzuela.
How about that?
Passed away at
That's
63.
Terrible. Yeah.
But I was watching a few TikToks on him, and I didn't realize that one season he had 20 complete games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. His first eight games in his rookie season, all complete games, and he gave up 4 runs total.
So what happened? Did we just start training our pitchers to be different? To not go as far?
Well, I mean, so it's a very, I'll try to be as simple as I can, but it's a complicated thing. Because if you look at Fernando Valenzuela, right? Here are his complete game totals from age 20 to 26. 11, 18, 9, 12, 14, 20, 12. I think he had maybe 15 the rest of his life. doing that wears you out. Mm. It can lead to physical problems. It can lead. Now, it doesn't for everybody, right? Nolan Ryan pitched forever, and he probably threw more pitches than any hit pitcher in history because he struck out a ton of people and he walked a ton of people. But that guy's basically the freak. He's the exception. So what
and
they
also,
found
wasn't he wasn't throwing like 100 miles an hour.
Well, no, he was throwing hard.
He was throwing mid to upper 90s, but he was throwing
at that time it was really hard.
But it's not even the number, it's how much your effort is required to get to that number. So if you're at 90% effort throwing 95, that's a lot easier than a guy at 100% effort throwing 92.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's about the amount of effort that you need. But now we know, okay, we know how to use your legs better, get your body moving downhill. We understand how to use all of these different forces in physics to get you to generate velocity, which is why we have what we have. But what we found, and this all coincided, by the way, with guaranteed contracts, right? When baseball players, when the Baseball Players Association got guaranteed contracts in collective bargaining and the money started to grow, owners looked at it and said, well, I don't want that guy to break because I don't want to pay him $10 million a year to not pitch. So we want to try to figure out how we can keep them healthier. So we're going to work less. We're going to use our bullpen. And then, by the way, there's also a competitive reason to use your bullpen because you get more outs that way. You know, like that, we've seen that happen for years now. A fresh pitcher in the seventh inning throwing 97 is better than your tired starting pitcher who's at 104 pitches. And because that strategy evolved, right, we saw, wow, those guys like Goose Gossage and Bruce Sutter and those guys, man, nobody hits them. We should probably do more of that. And that started to build a trend. And then on top of that, the concerns about injuries, they decided to rein in the workload by putting pitch limits in or pitch guidelines. But honestly, the way we're doing it now makes no sense. Like we should be doing it on a case by case basis. They have the ways to measure how much effort a person is putting on, how much stress they're putting on their elbow, on their shoulder. You can measure all of those things and you can figure out, you know, they're not all the same. Like Justin Verlander is not the same as Carlos Martinez. They're all built a little differently and can do different things. But we do this one size fits all, and that's why you end up where you are now, where a 5-inning start's basically what you're going to get.
When this is about old man baseball, but when Wheels and I went over to Busch Stadium and played catch and batting practice, I decided I'm going to play old guy baseball again, like I did when I was 30.
Yeah.
And I even bought a couple of mitts, and I got like mitt glove conditioner, and I was going to talk to you to see if you'd join a team with me. I'm DeLulu. And and so, but then my mom broke her hip, and I thought, well, I'm not 96, but I'm 60. Why would I run around jumping on my hip all the time, sliding into bases? And then I saw a guy on TikTok, a professional pitcher, throw a pitch, and he's like, oh, boy, oh, boy. And his arm was just broken in half. And I don't want that for me
either. Is it Dravecki? Is that who that was?
Well, Dave Dravecki had the arm break. But he had cancer.
That's what it was.
But I saw, I mean, I've seen that happen. I mean, I saw that happen.
Is that
to
how he found out he had cancer?
Yes.
Wow.
But it like he threw the pitch and his arm dangled.
It broke.
Yeah.
Broke.
Like it
broke. Like bone broke. Not like the elbow broke. Like the joint came apart. Because that's what you hear like Tommy John or whatever. Yeah. Right? You have a thing that just tears inside there.
No,
his arm broke. Like the bottom snapped. Yeah.
Did they catch it in time? The cancer?
No, I think he ended up passing away from it, if
did
I remember right.
Well, he lost his arm. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
They did. But I think eventually... I'm not remembering that 100%, but they did. Yeah, they had to amputate his arm from the elbow down.
Man, oh man.
You know, like the old guy baseball thing is interesting because I know a lot of people that play. I haven't done it recently, but I played in my 40s quite a bit. My dad just stopped playing, and he's 76.
Damn.
He stopped playing like 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
Now he just had hip replacement surgery.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm guessing that probably enhanced the you know speed at which he had hip problems.
That's another thing. Through all of my sports, I've never had a knee or hip injury really bad. And I know like being a catcher and just like Steve needs a replacement.
Yeah,
I don't want that. I don't want a replacement.
Yeah, I mean, like to me... I'm more than happy that I'll end up dealing with that because of what it meant before, but I wouldn't do it for anything for now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sense.
Like if I was starting it now, I'm like, yeah, you know, old man baseball in my 50s isn't worth it. Now baseball in my teens and 20s was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, but now no. If it came down, I don't avoid playing because of that, because you can play in Cadillac mode. That's how I play. When I go out and play softball or you know, old man baseball, you just got to be smart. Cadillac mode is like when I'm you're cruising.
I'm not very.
Oh, yeah. Because they're, you know, you're going to get, you know, just as an example, we played these world record baseball games. Mm-hmm. We're in the Guinness Book of World Records. And
no one's broken it since?
No, no, I'm sure they have. It's been, the group that I'm a part of has gone back and forth like six or seven times. And I think I was in three or four of them. But the it never fails. The guy that thinks he's going to play the whole time like he's Superman gets hurt every time. And it's almost always the youngest player out there. Guy in their 20s thinks, yep, I'm just playing ball. And then an hour and a half into a 48-hour game, you have a pulled hamstring and you got to play the rest of the game with a pulled hamstring.
That just sounds hellish.
Meanwhile, you got people like me, like I'm just in Cadillac mode the whole time. You're like 70% effort, pretty much anything.
Did you sleep?
Oh, yeah. You sleep like you're on for about 3 hours and off for about 3 hours. So when you're off, you can eat, get treatment, sleep, things like that. But you're only going to sleep 90 minutes at a time, maybe.
Mm. What was your record?
The longest one that I did? 65 hours?
What?
They went way past that eventually. Like, I had to stop doing it for, I think it was coaching reasons, because I'm coaching, I didn't have time. But I think 65 was the longest one. The worst one was 48, because I think that was the one we did in July, and it was 103 every day. It was brutal.
Remember when Steve in D.C. used to do the marathons? The radio marathons. Yeah. Does anyone do that anymore?
No, I those would be fun.
I think Donnie.
Oh yeah, Donnie. Yeah, Donnie Fandango does it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's a radio marathon?
24 hours.
You just go straight through. You don't go off the air.
Yep. We have commercial breaks,
so it'd be like 24 hours of Amy on KMOX.
Oh, wow. Well, that
like they would do it with music and lots of guests.
Right. It's people not a talk show. Yeah. I don't know of anybody that's done that on like a pure talk show.
Mike North did it.
Did he?
He did it. Yeah. And Danny Parkins, who's
okay.
Fox Sports now. Yeah. He just did one like 3 months ago.
Okay.
Remember
24
Trish?
Hours?
Trish 24 was a
hour
part talk of show. Some sort of a thing where they watch movies.
Yeah. She and Vic went to the movie theater and watched it for like days at a time.
And then it didn't count?
Yeah, because their producer didn't record it properly.
But didn't they have a rule?
Yeah, they were trying to break it. They were trying to break a world record. And they, according to her, they hit the record and they broke it. But it wasn't, the producer didn't record it in the proper
producers.
Way.
Wasn't the rule, though, that you couldn't leave?
As soon as
leave?
She told me that story, I was like, oh, I'm glad that didn't happen to me.
I feel like the story there was they couldn't leave, or they could only leave and get up at certain times.
I think you're right.
Yeah. To go to the bathroom.
They got like 5 minutes an hour or something like that. Welcome back, DGS 154. Remember when you learned to do this?
Yeah.
Have you not learned it yet? Of course you can do something cooler than me.
You can do that. You just blow into the straw.
Oh, okay.
Just practice cool. It. Yeah.
Were you just blowing bubbles into your drink?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. That's how you put the bubbles back in.
But it's not the same as like milk where you can see it.
What? Did you say what? Milk?
Stop saying milk.
There's no E in milk.
She did it the other day, and I thought, did I hear that right?
Milk is different when you blow bubbles.
Actually, you're probably better off saying it the other way.
Milk is when it's past the expiration date.
That's exactly right.
I noticed that.
I was wondering what the difference was.
It is such a huge central Illinois thing, and you're not even from there. People say milk, and they say Illinois.
Illinois, yeah.
Oh, I don't say Illinois is so weird.
You say
I do
that,
say
Rich?
Milk.
I don't know what I say. I just
say it.
Illinois. I guess I say
milk.
Oh,
that sounded like Illinois.
Say milk.
Milk.
Yeah,
you say it right.
Yep.
You're from Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
It's different.
I've never heard Illinois.
Oh, I heard that a lot in college.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I haven't spent enough time in Bloomington.
I think that's even up in Chicago area, too, though. Because I heard that a lot living up there.
Yeah, maybe I did, too. Anyway.
Milk is going to stick with me.
Yeah.
Next time I go to drink some.
She did it the other day, and I thought, did I hear you say that right?
The other one is the random R, like, I'm going to go wash this.
Ew.
Yeah, I grew up with that.
My dad does that one.
Yeah, it's still here.